The failure of drug war is glaringly obvious to judges, cops, wardens, prosecutors, and millions more now calling for decriminalization, legalization, the end of prohibition. Let us investigate the Century of Lies.
Hello and welcome to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Well, this is part two of our coverage of the 65th annual session of the Commission on Narcotic Drugs, which ran from March 14th through 18th. Let's start with a presentation from the first day of the session, March 14th, from the National Delegation of Portugal. Here's Dr. João Goulao, Director General of the Service for Intervention on Addictive Behaviors and Dependencies.
Portugal fully aligns itself with the statement made by the European Union on behalf of its member states. Mr. Chair, over the last 2 years in Portugal, as in all over the world, the COVID pandemic had and continues to have a strong impact in the drug situation with repercussions that may be long-lasting. But it has also encouraged creative and resilient responses. Portugal has implemented several measures to mitigate the impact of the lockdowns and the pandemic itself, namely in the responses available for people who use drugs. It is important, more than ever, to prevent the negative health and social consequences of drug use. The current situation underscores the relevance of our approach that encompasses a model of decriminalization as part of a broader approach designed to deter drug use and promote measures directed to public health concerns with social benefits to all involved. In these demanding times, the international community needs, more than ever, to step up its responses to cope with the persistent and emerging trends and challenges. Mr. Chair, Portugal would like to highlight the extremely valuable work of the UNODC on is developing in this field of evidence-based drug prevention and treatment, and we are pleased to continue our cooperation in this and other matters, namely towards the implementation of Resolution 64/5 of the CND, which was presented by Portugal on behalf of the European Union and its member states and adopted at the 64th CND session. At this time of great suffering for mankind, we strongly believe that the United Nations member states should ensure that international drug policy is strongly grounded in human rights principles to secure that drug control efforts are effectively designed to protect people. As I touch the subject of human rights, we would like to strongly condemn the military aggression by the Russian Federation against Ukraine and reaffirm our unwavering support to the sovereignty, territorial integrity and independence of Ukraine. We express our full solidarity with the Ukrainian people and the government. Mr. Chair, allow me to share with you that Portugal has a new policy document, the National Plan for the Reduction of Addictive Behaviors and Dependencies 2021-2030, which clearly reaffirms the integration of human rights principles in our policy in a clear and undeniable way. Based on the results of an external evaluation, the new plan takes a broad and integrated view of addiction problems and addresses illicit drugs, new psychoactive substances, alcohol prescribed medicines, doping, and gambling. In line with this model, Portugal strongly condemns the application of capital punishment in cases of crime offences related to drug use. As a matter of fact, Portugal unequivocally opposes the death penalty in all circumstances. We would also like to take this opportunity to recognize the role of civil society in drugs policy. During this crisis, it has been again underlined that we need close cooperation between different actors when solving most multifaceted problems. Mr. Chair, allow me, I will now address you very briefly in my capacity as President of the Pompidou Group of the Council of Europe. First of all, also on behalf of the Pompidou Group, I would like to express our full support to our newest member state, Ukraine, which joined the Pompidou Group as of January 2022. For the Pompidou Group, 2022 will be marked by collective reflections among its 42 member states on the main priorities for the next three-year work cycle, 23 to 25, to make the group fit for addressing future drug-related challenges. The new work program will be adopted at the Pompidou Group's 18th ministerial conference planned in Lisbon on 13 and 14 of December 2022. In parallel with discussing new ideas, the Portuguese presidency will be dedicated to finalizing the current work program 2019 to 2022, maintaining a strong focus on human rights in line with the 50th anniversary motto, human rights at the heart of drug policies. The revised statute of the group was adopted in 16 June 2021. This year will be crucial for setting the group on the path of using the full potential of its new mandate. The modernized statute should lead to an extended scope of the group's work to include addictive behaviors related to illicit substances, such as alcohol or tobacco, and new forms of addictions, such as internet, gambling, and gaming. A human rights approach in all our actions, being the only international drug policy platform with a statutory mission to promote and protect the rights of all individuals, including those who use drugs and their relatives. A reinforced multidisciplinary approach to addressing the drug challenge, which can only be tackled effectively if policy, practice, and science are linked. A strong focus on synergies, both within the Council of Europe and outside, with both our main international partners and civil society. To achieve these goals, we will build on the success of the Pompidou Group's 50th anniversary celebrated in 2021 and its reinforced identity as part of Europe's leading human rights organization, which is also reflected in the group's new name, Council of Europe International Cooperation Group on Drugs and Addiction. Thank you, Mrs. Chair.
That was Dr. João Goulao, President of the Pompidou Group and Director General of Portugal's Service for Intervention on Addictive Behaviors and Dependencies. He was speaking as a representative of the nation of Portugal on the opening day of the 65th annual session of the UN's Commission on Narcotic Drugs. Ambassador Aldrich Gilveld is permanent representative of the Netherlands in Vienna.
The Netherlands aligns itself with a statement made by the presidency of the European Union, and in my national capacity, I would like to add the following. First of all, dear Guilin, dear Ambassador De Hoop, I would like to congratulate you on your election as the chair of the 65th session of the Commission on Narcotic Drugs. My government is looking forward to this session, and we look forward to working under your able leadership. Thank you very much. Mr. Chair, let me first of all then express the solidarity of the Netherlands with Ukraine and the Ukrainian people. The Netherlands condemns Russia's unprovoked and unjustified aggression against Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity, as well as its violations of international law, including international humanitarian law, in the strongest possible terms. This Russian aggression has many consequences, but it has also consequences of the work that we are discussing here. For example, in the context of people using drugs and for the supply of controlled medicine. We call, therefore, upon Russia to immediately cease its military activities in Ukraine and withdraw from Ukraine's internationally recognized territory. This aggression comes also on top of the COVID crisis. And today we see the impact of the pandemic and of the measures taken to curb the infection rates in our societies. Major pre-existing societal challenges have become increasingly visible and are exacerbated today, whilst demanding on all, the crisis was and is particularly burdensome on vulnerable and marginalized members of society, including people facing serious substance use disorders. The Netherlands fully aligns itself with the ambition of the 2022 high-level political forum on sustainable development to build back better after the COVID-19 crisis. In this spirit, the Netherlands calls on governments to decriminalize the use of drugs and to introduce evidence-based policies, interventions, and harm reduction services to reduce the drugs-related deaths and overdoses in particular. Decriminalizing the use of drugs is key to breaking down barriers to access, addiction care, and harm reduction services. In this context, we recall that decriminalization is allowed under the 1961 Convention. Mr. Chair, at the same time, illegal drugs markets have proven once more to be resilient during the COVID-19 crisis. Drugs trafficking, trade, and drugs-related crime are visible more than ever and demand our prominent and urgent attention. The Netherlands is fully aware of that. In September last year, the government of the Netherlands announced to add 435 million euros each year to programs on countering and preventing organized crime, especially in the area of illicit drugs. Key focus areas of this new impulse are dismantling drugs trafficking and money laundering routes, related cybercrime and illicit drugs, stricter border controls, and preventing youth from getting involved in drugs-related crime, but also enhance international cooperation. Enhanced international cooperation, for example, related to our main ports, and the Netherlands has a few gateways to Europe, is really essential. It's part of a national program, but we also would like to thank UNODC for supporting all the international work that is involved with this. Mr. Chair, our fight against drugs-related crime is balanced off at the same time with a strong policy based on evidence and is focusing on the protection and the promoting of human rights. International collaboration and the exchange between United Nations bodies, state parties, civil society, and also the scientific community is of utmost importance to attain our common goals. And in this context, we look forward to the briefing on the work of the United Nations System Coordination Task Team, as well as to the presentation of the Chair Rapporteur of Human Rights Council Working Group on the arbitrary detention later this week. Finally, Mr. Chair, I'm very happy to invite all delegates and stakeholders to attend our side event on preventing overdoses and drug-related deaths tomorrow at 12:15. Thank you very much.
That was Ambassador Aldrich Gierveld, permanent representative of the Netherlands in Vienna. He was addressing the 65th annual session of the UN's Commission on Narcotic Drugs in Vienna, Austria, on March 14th. You're listening to Century of Lies. I'm your host, Doug McVeigh. Representing the Czech Republic, here's Jindřich Vobral.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Excellencies, ministers, ladies and gentlemen, distinguished delegates, let me first thank the Secretariat of the UNODC for their hard work in preparing this 65th session of the Commission on Narcotic Drugs in hybrid format. I would also like to thank you, Mr. Chair, for giving me the floor to share ideas in the state of play. I will first emphasize the Czech Republic fully aligns itself with the statement by the EU in strongly condemning Russia's unprecedented military aggression against Ukraine. The Czech Republic expresses its full solidarity with Ukraine and Ukrainian people. This conflict is expected to bring an array of serious problems, such as escalation of drug-related crime, and even more alarming, spread of HIV and hepatitis C to our region, Central and Eastern Europe. The current epidemic situation in the Russian Federation and Ukraine has been critical for almost two decades. Russia has not only been ignoring new and modern evidence-based recommendations on HIV/AIDS prevention, but also imposing its approach to other countries around. In the last few years, the situation in Ukraine dramatically improved, and the country took on important preventative measures. We are now very concerned that this progress will soon be reversed. Another issue that needs to be addressed in this regard is the problem of Russian-speaking criminal gangs. Recent investigations point to the existing links between figures of the drug criminal scene and high-level government representatives. We would therefore like to call on to intelligence and analytic agencies to provide us necessary information that will allow our governments to develop better evidence and intelligence-based policies. Ladies and gentlemen, we must not forget the COVID-19 pandemic, which has caused worldwide and severe health and economic crisis that will most probably lead to a new rise in addiction problem. Therefore, we must reaffirm our strong commitment to the principles of the Ministerial Declaration 2019, Agenda 2030, and the outcome document of the ANGAS 2016. Policies have to take into account human rights, human dignity, equal accessibility to health and social services, support the proportionate sentences of drug-related offenses, and alternatives to coercive sanctions to improve the social and health situation of people who use drugs. This, however, is not enough. It is essential to take into consideration new findings and open a debate on policies for controlled market rather than leaning towards blind prohibition, especially with substances that pose less risk, such as cannabis. These policies have been implemented now in some countries and show no dramatic problems, but have, on the contrary, brought more safety and decriminalized people who did not pose any threat to the general public. It is also necessary to strongly condemn the policies that expose people to the unnecessary risk of the spread of transmittable diseases, that block individuals from accessing available treatment when ill, and those that put people to death without trial for possession of drugs or obstruct them from freedom for many years for minor drug offenses. We therefore want to reaffirm our commitment to rational evidence-based drug policies that are based on human rights, decriminalization, and destigmatization. The harm reduction approach should become an overall concept via the provision of helping and preventative services as well as legislation. The Czech Republic emphasizes that care and public health go hand in hand with helping services and quality standard of care. In this regard, civil society is a key player, and we would therefore stress once again that cooperation with civil society in all decision-making processes is a must. Our national approach to drug policy strongly supports and encourages member states to research and open international debate to further development drug policies that integrate both illicit and licit substances as a single problem of addictive behavior. Since more and new evidence continues to suggest that legal and illegal drugs problem correlate, we propose to learn from the control market-based policies and adopt good practices to replace policies that keep failing and put individuals, countries, and regions in risks. Every national environment has its origin and specific needs and issues. In the context of the Czech Republic and in recent years, more and more other regions, the methamphetamine crisis has grown in force and production of new psychoactive substances increased. We therefore reaffirm more than ever our commitment to international cooperation and multilateralism to achieve progress and accelerate the implementation of international drug policy commitments. Ladies and gentlemen, distinguished colleagues, it is my honor to speak in front of you and would like to underline the important issues that we are facing this year from an international as well as a national perspective. I hope the beneficial international collaboration with many of us will continue and new partnership may develop. We should work together to increase our collective efforts to effectively respond to the world drug situation of today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your attention.
That was Jindřich Bobrov, representative of the Czech Republic, addressing the 65th annual session of the UN's Commission on Narcotic Drugs on Monday, March 14th. Non-governmental organizations also have a role to play at the CND. Representing the Open Society Foundation, here's Kasia Malinovska.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for this opportunity to make a statement on drugs and COVID-19. In November 2020, my home state of New Jersey in the United States took a remarkable step. Faced with the likelihood of a winter surge of COVID-19 and the havoc that this would wreak among prisoners and penitentiary staff, it released 2,200 people from prison in one single day, reducing the state prison population by 30%. Many of these people should have never been in prison in the first place. Some struggled with drug dependence and were in prison for possession. For others, their crime was selling small amounts of drugs to survive. Many were also victims of racially biased law enforcement, whereby black and brown people were arrested for behavior that is widely tolerated from others. With its prison release, New Jersey tackled two problems at once. It contained the harms of the COVID-19 and began to remedy a long-standing drug policy injustice. For all the misery it has caused, the COVID-19 pandemic has also pushed policy innovation. Various countries introduced or broadened take-home programs for methadone or buprenorphine, lifting a major barrier to effective opioid dependence treatment. And in New York City, New York City introduced first overdose prevention centers in the United States, allowing people to use drugs in the presence of medical staff who can intervene in case of an overdose. UN Secretary General has noted that the COVID-19 pandemic has created a generational opportunity to build back a more equal and sustainable world. It is imperative that this body, the CND and UNODC, play a leading role in this process. Current drug control policies have contributed to overcrowded prison worldwide, where one in five prisoners is in jail for a drug offense. Decriminalization, mentioned by a number of states today, of drug use and of simple possession is a way out. The Commission should also examine how lockdowns made people who use drugs even more vulnerable to arrest. Many are already underfunded health and social services for people who use drugs were disrupted, leaving users at increased risk of HIV, hepatitis C, and accidental overdose. And how the drug supply across the world and in the United States became even more unsafe, causing overdose deaths in 2021 to exceed 100,000 in the United States alone. Regretfully, last year's COVID resolution did not ask for this kind of learning. While it speaks to the dramatic consequences of the pandemic, it does not talk about the fact that overtly punitive drug control policies significantly exacerbated those consequences. I very much hope that the CND and member states, along with other UN agencies, engage in a thorough process of reflection to learn lessons and build on the innovations inspired by the pandemic, and to adjust their approach to drug policy, putting health and well-being at its center. In solidarity with people of Ukraine, illegally invaded by Russia, I thank you.
That was Kasia Malinovska with the Open Society Foundation addressing the 65th annual session of the UN's Commission on Narcotic Drugs. UN agencies also participate. Elena Steinert is Chair Rapporteur of the Working Group on Arbitrary Detention of the UN's Office of the High Commissioner on Human Rights.
It is my honor to address the United Nations Commission on Narcotic Drugs to present the study on arbitrary detention relating to drug policies prepared by the UN Working Group on Arbitrary Detention at the request of the Human Rights Council and presented to the Council at its 47th session in July of last year. The Human Rights Council also had requested the Working Group to bring the study to the attention of the Commission on Narcotic Drugs as the policy-making body of the United Nations with prime responsibility for drug control matters. And so, I have the honour of encompasses legal guarantees and due process safeguards. In this regard, may I recall and emphasise the commitment of all Member States in accordance with UNGAS 2016 to practical measures to uphold the prohibition of arbitrary detention. In its study, the Working Group notes with concern the increasing instances of arbitrary detention as a consequence of drug control laws and policies, and finds that people who use drugs are particularly at risk of arbitrary detention. Especially, the study records the increasingly disproportionate number of women imprisoned for minor drug-related crimes. There is a need for all drug policies to serve a necessary, proportionate, and legitimate aim. With this in mind, the Working Group calls for decriminalisation of drug use and highlights that imprisonment for drug-related offences should be a last resort and, in principle, only used for serious crimes. The Working Group calls for prompt release of all persons detained for drug use or possession for personal use only and review of their convictions with a view of expunging their records. The Working Group also found that despite the evidence in terms of the lack of effectiveness of compulsory treatment, the practice of confining people who use or are suspected of using drugs against their will is still widespread and can give rise to arbitrary detention. The Working Group considers that the shift from punitive to supportive approach should be translated into making drug treatment voluntary and based on informed consent. All compulsory drug detention and treatment centres should be closed and further admissions stopped. Instead, voluntary and raised health and social services should be made available in the community. The Working Group recognises the important role played by the civil society, including the Association of Drug Users, in the design, implementation, monitoring and evaluation of drug policies. It therefore calls on states to uphold the role of all these stakeholders by enabling them to work without threat of criminalisation or other penalties. To conclude, the Working Group welcomes the continued engagement with all relevant actors on this important topic and wishes to especially highlight the importance of collaborative approach to be adopted by the states, UN agencies, regional and national organisations and all other stakeholders in furthering the implementation of the recommendations made in its study. The Working Group stands ready to facilitate these collaborations. I thank you.
That was Alina Steinert, Chair Rapporteur of the Working Group on Arbitrary Detention of the UN's Office of the High Commissioner on Human Rights, addressing the 65th Annual Session of the UN's Commission on Narcotic Drugs in Vienna, Austria. And for now, that's it. Thank you for joining us. This has been Century of Lies. I've been your host, Doug McVeigh. Find this edition of Century along with an archive of past shows at the Drug Truth Network website, drugtruth.net. We'll be back in a week with 30 more minutes of news and information about drug policy reform and the failed war on drugs. For now, this is Doug McVeigh saying so long.
For the Drug Truth Network, this is Doug McVeigh asking you to examine our policy of drug prohibition, the Century of Lies. Drug Truth Network programs archived at the James A. Baker III Institute for Public Policy.